Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
Awesome. I wasn't going to ask James what that site was, but I figured y'all didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to start any trouble this morning. So good morning to you guys again, and thank you guys for coming on the last day of the year. I'm honored and excited to be able to share today, and I thought about you guys all last night. And I'm only going to share what I'm chewing on, right? So, you know, oftentimes whenever you sharing God's word, it's good to chew it well so we can get down deep inside of our spirit. So today, for a little while, I just want to talk about laying it down, the last day of the year. And I want to ask some questions to my brothers. What are you willing to lay down going into this new year? The notion that there is something spiritually about a new year, as you guys know, is not necessarily biblical, but it is refreshing to know that a calendar gives us a reset, a restart, a refocus, so we can reflect, repent, and go into the year with some type of optimism, vision, focus. And as men of God, we should be thinking about our tomorrow when today.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we don't get better by just thinking about it. We have to apply some intentional efforts and actions towards the mark that we want to reach. All right. So Hebrews 12, 1-3. I'm just going to jump in. I'm just going to flow. And if Joe just get out of line, y'all swing on him. I want to read this to you. It says Hebrews 12, 1-3, reading from the NLT version. It says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us, with endurance, run the race God has set before us. Verse 2 says this, very important here. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfect our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Verse 3, it says, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, that you would not become weary and give up. Amen. Paul's writing. I think when I was here last time, I talked about an athlete running a race, training, getting ready, enduring and running with perseverance and understanding with all clarity. The race that we're running is not the race we choose. It's the race that God set out for us to run. And I think we get weary. As a matter of fact, I know we get weary when we rerun our own race.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
And then anxiety, stress, over concern, money problems, children problems, just problems multiply when we don't have the peace of God in helping us to endure through the storms of life. John 16:33 talks about Jesus as he's getting ready to leave. He's encouraging his disciples. He said to him two things. In me, you have peace. And he says, in the world, you have trouble. Then he says, but be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. OK, so we endure the marathon of life by having God centered into our lives. You guys all know that. You've been to Sunday school. You've been to Bible studies. You've been to James study. You've been to Eric studies. You've been to Paul studies. You've been to all these. You know that, right? But being able to make that thing manifest in my life to where I'm living it, I'm walking in it, and I have such a peace that when things happen, I'm not overly concerned or overly run over when life happens. When life happens, okay? So this understanding that the enemy wants you to run this race fast so you can be out of breath. But God wants you to run this race like a marathon, getting the strength and the endurance from God, right? A runner tells you when you run fast and short, you burn more energy. And if you don't pace yourself, you burn out. The enemy's job is to wear us down, right? Beat us down, tear us down. But God wants to give us strength while we're going through the trials and the tests of life. But there are certain things in our mindset that we pick up along the race or the journey that causes hindrance. So three things I just want to focus in, and I'm tired of you already. Three things. Here we go. I want to focus in on hindrance, sin, and entanglement. Then I want to close on about a few mindsets that we have to pay attention to. Okay. Everybody know our mindset is what you set your mind on, creating your mindset. Okay. So a lot of times that mindset is built off pain of life, issues of life, heartache, disappointments, heartbreaks, just unrealized expectations sometimes gives us a hard mindset. And so we have this paranoia about things when it happens. All right. Oh, here we go. Here it is again. The devil messing with me again. Right. And we have the notion to say, well, the devil threw everything at me but the kitchen sink. And then we're so negative, we say, well, here comes the doggone kitchen sink. All right. The mindset about these things, setting you up to understand that when we have a mindset that is rooted in Christ about what we face, the enemy doesn't have a chance to getting us off the track or off the race or out of the race, because we know that our help, our peace, our comfort, our encouragement all comes from God. Amen. All right. So a hindrance is this. It is a thing that provides resistance, delay, or obstruction to something or someone. A hindrance to the development of a process. Hindrance is a resistance, a delay, a destruction. All right. So we think about this hindrance and we think about our lives. And the question is very clearly, where's the hindrance in my life? What is delaying me? What is holding me up? What is that someone or something? Okay. Someone or something. Okay. It can be a woman. It can be a job. It can be most of the time probably a woman, but it can be a woman. I'm joking. It can be a woman. It can be a job. It can be something that hindrance that delays your process of being able to run freely. Now, you know what it is, right? I don't have to tell you that. If you're honest on this last day of the year, you would admit that you got some hindrance. Some delays, some undeveloped things in my life that I'm not really getting. I'm not really flowing with the currency of time and God and the Holy Spirit. There's some roadblocks that pauses me unnecessarily. It is a premature pit stop. I'm tired of y'all. Wait. Listen to me. It's important because these hindrances will, as you see, there's a flow. All right. If you guys are honest, this year we had ups and downs, spiritual high, spiritual low. But if you had more lows and highs than there, you got to identify the hindrance in your mind, in your life, these triggers, these things that the enemy doesn't want you to discover because he don't want you to be free. He wants you to think that you're free, but you're not free. It's just the next thing that's going to set you off and then you off track. Mm-hmm. See, when that mindset is there and you say, okay, I'm watching for you because you're watching for me. And it's not a new trick. It's just what he's been doing to you from the beginning. Yeah. Right. And then so you got to realize that I'm not going to allow that thing to be a hindrance. See, when we're running the race of God, and, you know, we have to make sure that we're not ignorant to Satan devices.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So I'm going into the new year. The notion is I get to reset. Well, here's the foolery in that. If you don't have any self-evaluation of your life and the track record of the past, you're going to run fast, but you're going to burn out. That's why so many people start the year, including myself. This is my year to lose weight.
Praise God.
Thank you, James. I got one in the room, right? And I said, but the problem is I said that in 14 and 15 and 16 and 17. It was my year to come alive. I said no more in 24.
Hallelujah.
But I ate more in 24. You hear what I'm talking about? No, but until I set a plan of actions, then it's just a good idea without a spiritual influence and insight about your life. So what am I saying? The Holy Ghost have to reveal to you and I the things that we need to pay attention to in our lives.
Yeah.
Don't ignore yourself looking at other people. Because sometimes our hindrance is blaming other people about our lack of progress in our life. If I had a better wife, if I had more money, if I had a dog, if I drove a Chevy truck. You know what I'm talking about? We put so much emphasis on everything but ourselves. But the true hindrance, Eddie, is ourselves.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay? All right? Everybody got that? Yeah. So I need to be able to identify the hindrance. And then number two, you know, in Hebrews, this is all Hebrews 12, 1 and 3. All right? And then we need to pay attention to the sin in our life. Okay? Sin is simply missing the mark of God or failing the mission. This sin, this issue that brings separation, the issues that get us off the track that God set. Now, all of us have struggled with some sins or sins in our life. But loving Jesus doesn't make you sinless. It makes you sin less. Okay? You can run the track and still have some issues of sin in your life. But here's the difference between a believer with a renewed mindset and those who just say, well, I'm human. Things happen. All right. I don't want you to tell yourself that no more. You're not allowed to say things happen. You control Amen. What happens in your mind and in your heart when things happen. Amen. So you are not a byproduct of what happened.
That's good.
All right. You respond to what happened by the faith God put inside of you. But you recognize when there is sin in your life, when you are deliberately missing the mark, when you're choosing to say, regardless of what Pastor DK say or what anybody say, I'ma still act the way I wanna act. I'ma still gonna be disobedient to God's will and God's way because I just enjoy being this unrenewed man. I enjoy this portion of sin in my life. I enjoy I enjoy the Popeyes and the shrimp biscuit and all. You know what I'm saying? I enjoy the porn. I enjoy lusting. I enjoy having an attitude. I just enjoy it, not enough to kill it. So the enemy doesn't mind you having a form of godliness. Because he knows you denying the power that can make you godly. Huh. One of the worst things you can say to me is that I'm a religious man or I'm a Christian. Let me tell you why. Christian is universal. Everybody's a Christian. Beyonce thinks she's a Christian. Take that off the tape, okay, y'all. Rewind that. I didn't say it. But people think in their mind, I'm a Christian. What is a Christian? It's universal now. But a Christian is a man, a person who has godly characters active and alive in their life through the faith of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because heathens believe that they're Christians. But there's a separation between those that believe and those that walk it out as they believe.
Yes.
Because I can confess this all I want about Christianity, but until I'm living proof
yes.
that has been a change in my heart, change in my mind, change in my talk, change in my walk, change in who I am, then I'm just going to church, checking the boxes, but I have not accepted the power that makes me godly. Hello, Timothy and Paul.
Yes.
Paul told them, and through Timothy, he said, hey, you guys are hearing so much word, so much teaching, so much podcast, so much information. You got your Instagram preacher, your YouTube preacher, your Facebook preacher, your local preacher, and it's just preachers all around. But there's no transformation that makes you what? Godly. You know how you know that there's great change? When the dog recognizes there's something different about
yeah.
you. When the dog look at you like this, that joke will change. Like, what happened to that joke? You understand what I'm telling you? No, this is a thing that we want when we wake up in the morning. It's just not, I'm just not another day. It's a day I get to live to impact the world, to change everything around me, to pay attention to hindrance and rejecting sin in my life. It should be to the point, here it is, gentlemen, that my mind is so renewed that if the enemy's going to get me, he has to trip me up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deliberately choose to be disobedient. Hey man, let's pause for a minute. In 2025, these choices to choose to be disobedient, and I'm talking to myself as well. You never know when that choice is going to magnify into something else. I got a spiritual son in Mississippi. He won't hear this unless James sent it to him. You know, he's a sipper, okay? Man of God, great man of faith, but he loved to sip. He's, you know, y'all don't know what sipping mean? Yeah. All my dogs. Any dogs in y'all know? Okay, I got one over there. All right. You know, get that white styrofoam cup, pour it in the cup, put it in the side, and he sip when he drive. He loved to sip and drive. Now, some of you got convicted when I said that. All right? And I told him, I said, man, you know, I said, bro, you know, you're 50 years old, man. If you're going to have your drink, stay to your house, you know. Oh, man, I've been doing that for 20, 30 years. Put me a little Sprite, a little Kvasi. I don't know what that is, right? And he drive. And one day, he just kind of yielded through a stop sign. And the cop stopped him. He's a pastor, multiple campuses. Wow. The cop stopped him. He had his little styrofoam cup. He had his drink and his two-step. Okay, nobody up in here. All right? All right. And the cop say, what are you doing? Well, I had a conversation. He smelled it on his breath. He said, sir, get out the car. So now he got cited for having a drinking or whatever it is in Mississippi. He got cited for it. And then because of who it is, they put him in the paper. And so he called me, and you know, he called me, and I'm, what's going on? He said, man, I said, well, I'm sorry, but for years, that little thing he was doing, that he didn't think was going to blew up his spot. And it's like, hey, that's what the devil wants you to do. Is just play with it for a little while until that little thing kicks you in the butt or take you out. And in 2025, listen to me, we got to make sure, hear me what I'm saying, make sure that we're not keeping pet demons in our lives.
No, kick them out.
We want every demon to leave out of our lives so we can walk in freedom, gentlemen, freedom, freedom. Don't choose that thing. Listen, this is easier said than done. There's some things in my life that I got to pray about that I don't invite into my life because these sins hinder the race that God wants me to run so I can run it effectively. And the goal is for us to be better today than we was yesterday and to love God more today than I did yesterday. It is a continuing process of glory to glory, faith to faith. Come on. But you got to want that, gentlemen. I just can't be so excited to come here and preach and you say, oh, what a great job he did. But you leave out that you embody that word of God until it manifests through you.
Yes.
And the dog look at you funny. Yeah. And everybody does. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, let me go. And then there's this thing called entanglement. This is all Hebrews 12, 1 and 3. Entanglement. Somebody say entanglement.
Entanglement.
Okay. In the Bible, the word entanglement is used to describe a stage of mental, moral, or spiritual confusion. Enslavement. This means that you and I can be caught in a trap, can be caught off guard, entanglement. So most of the believers that I've studied, if I understand, identify hindrance, I'm paying attention to sin in my life, but there are some things that entangle me so I can't be fully free to run the race. There's a resistance in my flow. And, speaking of a dog, I have a dog, Tank his name is, and you know, when I'm walking my dog in my neighborhood, and sometimes I do, I'm not as bougie as Job. Job carried his dog on his side when he shot. I don't know why I'm picking on him today. But when I'm walking my dog, and anybody walk a dog before, when he puts too much resistance or pull against the strap, you hear the dog go. You know what I'm talking about? And it reminds him that he's on a leash, right? And I'm seriously, like, religion, hear me. The flow of God in your life. Watch what I'm telling you. And then when I take my dog out, you're gonna like this one. You like it? All right. Okay. I take my dog out, and sometimes I put the chain around his neck and I'm walking him. Then I slowly just let it go. But he's so used to being entangled with that rope.
Yeah.
that he's a free dog and don't even know it.
Yeah, here we go.
But something happened to him one day where I let him loose and I just held the chain. And he took off running. And when he was running, he was looking back. Because he didn't realize he was like, hold on, this is different. And then he started running in that old tongue. Went to the side of his, y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. When the dog running and his tongue on the side, that's mean this goes from being restricted to being somewhat free, to feel free. Now that tongue hangs on the side because now as a jar of the run that he's running. Most religion people, religious people who don't have the goal of relationship, they run with restrictions. But when you free by the Holy Spirit, it's like there's no wind holding you back. You're not holding you back. There's no entanglements. You can run this race free, trusting that God says in Hebrews, he is the author and the finisher of your faith. So no matter how hard the run is, you free. Oh, boy, I feel that right there. All right. Now, I realize that this entanglement, this mindset, this religious mindset, and I'm helping people to understand the sophisticated system of religion that causes people to be morally entangled because of our belief system over a denomination, over a church, over a pastor, over this, over that. We create all these webs, and before we know it, we have joined ourselves to a cult or joined ourselves to a religious thing. Hear me carefully when I say eat the meat, gentlemen, all right, to a thing to where we can't be free. We're not free enough. Then this freedom doesn't mean outside of a covering. This freedom to say that I am I a church man or am I a kingdom man? Am I so religious that all my life, baby, I'm a Catholic? You know what I'm talking about? When I die, I'm going to die a Baptist. I'm a Baptist boy. My mom and them, we Methodists. We bound by the walls of man-made religion. When Jesus came on the earth, this entanglement of religion, he said, I got to break this thing down. And it wasn't Pookie or y'all first cousin that destroyed him. It was the religious people where he went against the system, the entanglement. He went against the sources of time, the minds of time. He was a radical rebel, and I love him. Yeah, amen. And I want to be a man that has so much freedom in Christ that I don't see walls, the denominations and people. I'm a kingdom man. Hallelujah. If it's of the kingdom, it's of me. Amen. Jesus went against these people, entanglement, and it cost him his life. No, he laid down his life.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
So religious man can be free. So the unsaved can be saved. He faced hell so we wouldn't have to. But he had to buck the system. And why, Pastor, is there not much work being done outside of one body, this church, the politics of religion, cause the entanglement of the flow of God in cities and communities across the nation. Now, you got some of you're going to catch that when you're driving to Mamou, I'm telling you. How do I break free from that entanglement, okay? And this mindset of belief system, here's the bottom line. We got the nerve to think that we can put God in a box.
Absolutely.
And now we juxtapose our position, our mindset with God, and think because we think it is God. It has to be God because it showed some type of success. So now what we do, we prostitute a method that entangles the next generation. Oh, man, that's good. I'm put my wallet on the table. I'm about to give myself an offering in just a second. All right? No. That entanglement stops the flow. Jesus, I'm breaking all that down. I'm going to tear the walls of the temple. The two. When he says, if you destroy this body, I raised it up in 3 days. They were so proud of their church. They said, man, this Negro, I'm sorry. They say, this brother going to destroy the temples our mom and daddy built. He wasn't even talking about that. He was splitting the walls of access to who can come to him. the prostitute, the drug addict, the backslider, the people, even the leopards at that time was treated with such a disdain that when Jesus went to up to a leopard, people ran from that leopard, but Jesus hugged the leopard. I got people, I got three guys in my church with HIV, AIDS, from living a lifestyle of sexual perversion. Every Sunday I see them, I hug them. I bring them close because their issues don't define them. Amen. Free from that entanglement. Yes. All right. Are y'all tired of me?
No, not yet.
All right. So I'm going to give you these three things and we're done. We're out the way. We're going to go to Popeye as soon as we're done. Watch this.
Yeah, eat Popeye, man. Come on.
I got to watch James, man. James.
That's my account, man. We got to eat Popeye.
Amen. So I want to give you these three things, just three things to look for next year. All right. Ungodly mindset. Ungodly company. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ungodly mindset, ungodly company. And the last one is a religious mindset. Okay. Ungodly mindset is a lack of reverence, fear of God. It's a rejection to his authority, and it's how we can live in rebellion to God's way. Okay. How in the world can I be saved with an ungodly mindset? Let me tell you. And man, I as a prayer person, I love prayer. I love spending time in the presence of the Lord. I'm learning that I've learned and realized there's no better place than being in God's presence on my knees. Okay. And if I can give you any sound advice, pray more than ever before, and things are going to change in your life. Okay. Yes. Prayer, meditation seduces the heart and the mind, that brings only the impregnation of the Holy Spirit, that surpasses the mindset of your reality and opens up and exposes you to a rim of God's wisdom, love, and flow that doesn't exist in the setting of church.
Wow,
that's
good. Okay. That's so good.
So what happens is, come here, God dog, what happens is that when there's such a wall of flesh, an ungodly mindset creeps in while being saved. And now we have now taken the confidence of a relationship through religion and think that we are the cat's meow. When a believer at his best knows that he's empty without God, he stays thirsty. Amen. What the church says, what the word says, is that God says, he who is thirsty, take a drink, which means he's going to fill you and I to the capacity of our thirst. Religion quenches a thirst that's kind of like drinking a substitute of water. You have it for 30 minutes, but you're thirsty again after you drink it.
Yeah.
Okay? Listen to what I'm telling you. When Jesus said, if you drink of what I give you, never thirst again, spiritual thirst. When we are in God's presence and we understand, this is good. When we're in his presence and he is now penetrating our heart through prayer and worship, he is now causing our minds to leave the earthly confinements of flesh and believe on a higher dimension than the surface level of preaching in the natural realm.
That's good.
You can only get that through intimacy.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
And men, can I tell you, we are the most unintimate people on earth. God made us that way. Thank God you're not all feminine. But that should be a type of feminineness or a submissiveness in God's presence.
Yes.
Where you're not such a man in his presence.
Yes.
Where we're not demanding anything in his presence.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Demanding anything?
Yeah.
Well, God, if you don't pay the light bill by 3 o'clock, they're going to put me and my family. You don't think you already know that? No, but when you come to him and he knows the situation, you come to him and you humble yourself. That's an arrogance in prayer. In the Western culture.
Right.
My African friends, when they pray, they lay on their stomach and they pray. Mud, dirt in their eyes when they pray, because they believe God for something. The problem is we stop believing. Because we are comfortable with resources and people and connections and all the, we lose the intensity of our worship and prayer. We develop an ungodly mindset, not meaning we're not saved and we can't tap in. That has to be more. Okay, everybody got that? Are y'all mad at me?
No.
Because I come back next year.
Yeah.
Right? And then this ungodly company. I think this is where we can really cut the fat fast. Everybody have people in their life that they know that probably need to be cut off. If I don't learn that when I was, if I don't learn that when I was younger, Jason. I probably would not have been stabbed or arrested so many times. I had the wrong company. Yeah. So in your life, gentlemen, I mean this with all my heart, but in your life, there's people in your life that you just have a comfortable space with, that you cuss with, scratch your nuts with, you know what I'm talking about?
Not that comfortable.
I didn't say scratch his nuts. I'm saying you scratch. I'm not sure what... Let's pray for him as soon as we get out of here, y'all. I'm saying, amen. Make sure Pastor Jacob don't hear this message. Make sure Pastor Jacob don't hear this message. Okay? All right. I got to get out. I'm tired of y'all. I got to go. No, you know what I'm saying? You just... I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, brother. I'm going to give you a dollar when I'm finished. I'm going to give you a dollar. Listen. Pray for me, y'all. Pray for me. I'm going to get saved. I'm telling you right now. This comfortable to where... I can cuss, sin, drink, have ungodly conversations. I'm not telling you that you kill that relationship, but you approach that thing different now. Mm. Brother, I know we used to go to the strip club. I know we used to do this. I know, but this year, I want to be your accountability partner. I'm not going to allow you, or you don't allow me, to bring us down off the race. Yes. To enjoy the pleasures of sin. Huh. When I got saved... First got saved, my older mentors was a talented in the pulpit, but he was nasty as a man of God. Mm. He had women and money and it could have corrupted me, but God rescued me. Wow. And so eventually the Bible says in Corinthians 15 that bad company corrupts good morals.
Yes. Yep.
So cut the fat this year.
Yes.
Men, women, people, church folks who always bring the negative things about the church. You know, you know what I'm talking about? Y'all know that person?
Oh, yeah.
Send me his name. I'm going to call him. No. Just cut the fat so you can get rid of that hindrance. And the last thing, as I said, I'm done. Religious mindset. Allow God to have enough room to be God in your life. Don't put your opinion or your thought process on Almighty God.
Right.
The word says, who is God's counselor? Why in this culture we get a little bit of scriptures and we know a few prophets, few minor, few major. We shake hands with the priest and we think we're special all of a sudden. That we can now all of a sudden just assume that I have ascended to a position with God, that I'm elite, and is insulting to God. That our children can get so high and puffed up in vain religion that he says, I don't even want to talk to you. I'd rather talk to a drug head, prostituted person who is pure about me when someone who has now taken on a religious look about me. Pastor Moses. His people. Moses, it ain't happening. Moses, what's going on? Moses, we tired of you. Moses, we gonna kill you. We gonna bust your head to the white meat. Moses says, that bad? Y'all go talk to him. When he went, he got out the way, they went talk to him. When God started talking, they started running. They say, Moses, better yet, we had a change of heart, Moses. You can talk to him. What am I saying? The purity of a humbled mind without approaching God's throne with arrogance of saying, God, I know nothing. I am nothing. I have nothing. I need you to be God in my life. I need to humble myself and stop thinking so much and start trusting more. Not if I don't have all the plans, all the answers, if I don't know what's next, I know if I trust you to be God, you're going to come through. And we got to make God, God again. Not just the way we worship him, but God in our life. God as my shepherd, I should not want. It's a personal thing that disrupts and breaks down the religious mindset. Our wisdom is finite to God. The creator of the universe and the heavens, you think we can counsel him? Or do you think we need to be humble before him and say, God, teach me your ways, as David says. Yes. I close this and I'm gonna pray. We just purchased, our church just purchased the Beauty Plus store next to our club, our church. We're turning the club on Simcoe. It's where some of y'all buy y'all weave. Okay, it's on the Simcoe. All right, Simcoe. It's Beauty Plus. It used to be Old Piggly Wiggly. We just purchased that building. Got the building 15,000 square feet. We're moving from 5,500 to 15,000 square feet. And I looked at the building. Adam did the drawings. He gave me some numbers. I wanted to fight him when I seen the numbers. Okay. Almost $3 million. Took the numbers. The Lord said, you want to do this? I said, yes, Lord. He said, well, you got $5,000 in your account. You want to do this? Yes, Lord. I said, brought it to our board. We talked about it, got the plans, talked to people who have resources, sharing the vision, excited to impact the north side of town in an amazing way. Rejection, 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 rejection. The Lord said, you still want to do this? I said, yes, Lord, because I know it is not in my ability to do it, but it's in his ability to provide for his house and build his temple.
Yes.
I'm just a vessel saying, be God through me.
Amen.
Use me so you can get the glory in the earth.
Amen.
And because of that, that belief system outside of our circumstances, the flow of God is coming together. It's coming together. And in the next season, you're going to see, I'm prophesying, you're going to see a building that's a temple of God, indoor sports ministry, state of the art in the at-risk black community, not because Pastor DK is special, but because God says, I'm going to do something amazing if you allow me to do it.
Amen.
So 2025 can be amazing if you allow God to do it.
Amen.
Come on, stand to your feet. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Woo. Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you today for these great men. We thank you, God, that we are coming at your throne ready to lay things down before we go into a new calendar year. Hindrance, entanglements, sins, ungodly company, ungodly mindsets, religious mindsets. Lord, I ask today that we become nothing in your presence so you can begin to fill us up with the thoughts, the directions, your spirit, to be a faithful son in the earth. Lord, I thank you now that these men today will leave here encouraged, fired up, ready to have the best year of their lives, because as Pastor Jacob say, it is the best spiritual year of our lives.
Yes.
Lord, we ask this today that you would increase our faith. God, give us more humility to be usable in the master's hand. And Lord, we repent for hindrance, entanglements, sin. We repent for having a religious mindset. And Lord, we ask that we would just humble ourselves before you today and allow you to be God through us. We love you today. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.